All right, you're live on the Arms Room with Glenn.
And Drew.
And it's just us today. Just us, no John, sadly.
Poor John.
Sadly, John is doing some Army stuff again. Look at this time, not going to be as long of a time for him. It's not going to be 6 months before he can come back.
Just. Yeah.
But he will be gone for a couple shows.
Yeah.
Worry not, folks. It'll be okay. Thank you to all of our patrons for your support of the show. We decided to go live today when we weren't supposed to. We were supposed to do a pre-recorded show because we had some other stuff going on this morning. And so we decided to do live anyway because, you know.
We care more about you than what happened this morning.
Yeah, we do what we want, and we care more about this show than the stupid bullshit we had to take care of this morning. But anyways, that aside, we decided to go live instead of just doing a pre-recorded show. So we don't expect as many people to watch, but, you know, it'll happen. Whatever. You guys ask your questions. It's going to get ranty today, folks, I got to tell you. Already had a couple of beers, drinking another one right now. Get ready. There will be rants. There will be hardened opinions based on anecdotal experience, minimal facts, some science, and a lot of math, all right?
So I'm turning your mic down?
Yeah. have your hand on the microphone volume control, Drew. It's going to happen. Patrons, thank you so much again for supporting the show. Schoolhouse classes start in just a couple of weeks.
Wait.
What?
To all our patrons just received their stickers,
yes.
Send us photos of where you post them so we can repost them to show all your love and support.
Yes, thank you very much for reminding me of that. A lot of stickers got sent out. The new Sabretooth Tiger stickers. You $10 above patrons got the extra stickers.
Yep.
Regular patrons, you guys still got the badass Nobody Cares Work Harder Sabretooth stickers. Couple things. One, give us your feedback on the quality of the stickers because we used a new sticker guy for the first time ever. And be honest, it's the first time we've ever used him. We know they're kind of papery. We're not 100% on that, but let us know overall the quality of the stickers as you use them. But yes, please send us info@trainingaz.com or DM to us you know, on Facebook or Instagram or whatever.
Yeah. And we'd love to repost. We want to repost in the wild photos. So
yes.
Send it to us so we can repost it.
Yes. Schoolhouse courses start very, very soon. Those are going to be recorded, put up for the $10 above patrons. First one up is going to be external ballistics and rifle optics. Then we got a couple on arm structural movement. We've got a low light IFAC. We've got a gear selection. Oh, my God. We've got tons of stuff coming up. Those are all going to be posted up as videos for our patrons to watch.
Yep.
Basically, tons of freaking educational content coming your way.
Yes.
So get ready for that. Just did Entangled Handgun this last weekend. Hands down, my favorite class to teach.
I got to take photos.
You did. All the badasses don't take these classes. All these fucking armchair commandos, all the former, no shit, there I was, bro. I used to bro. All that bullshit goes right out the fucking window when a dude reaches out and grabs onto you and was like, I'd like to take your gun and shoot you with it, please. Or when you get tangled up with someone and they're stabbing you in the taint with a freaking fake knife and you're like, oh my God, how did this happen? Doesn't matter, you're still getting stabbed. You should probably do something about it.
I love that.
That kind of shit happens.
Should probably do something about that.
Every class. Every freaking class. You know?
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, my God, this is an eye-opening experience.
So my cousin says it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
5 o'clock. Thank you. It is. Cheers, Australia.
No, wrong cousin. I'm talking about Bates.
Cheers, Bates.
All right. It's 18 hours ahead in Australia.
Whatever. So get out there and really pressure test your shit. All right? And that's part of what I'm going to be ranting about today, but get out there and test yourself, man. I'm telling you what, we video all the fights. Most of them are less than 30 seconds and someone's dead. Some of them are even way less than that from start to finish, total engagement. A large majority of them only go a couple of minutes and most people are completely gassed out in more than 1 minute. They have to fight for more than 1 minute. They are so freaking gassed. And I get, right, in the real world, adrenaline, all those other kind of things might help you, and that might be true, but also understand this kind of information, critical. Taught alongside our good friend Cecil from Immediate Action Combatives, based loosely on the ShivWorks curriculum as well as our own curriculum. Dude, close contact and entangled handgun. If you haven't taken them from us, you should.
Yep.
You've never been riddled with UTMs while you thought.
And you'll use it more than you think you will. I just had an experience a week after going through close contact. Mm-hmm. I used the skills that I learned. Yep. And it's, you're going to use that more in everyday life than you will anything else.
Yeah.
Just realizing to create the distance, the space to use verbals and everything else. You're going to use that more than you will anything else.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, I mean, for all you people, I'm just going to shoot him. Like, you are fucking retarded.
Have fun getting fucked in prison or fucked with your own gun.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Like, you need to understand to create space, distance, use verbals. I mean, close contact. I actually wasn't expecting that from the class. And we went more in depth about how to disengage than engage. And I think that a lot of people just, they get so amped up. I mean, for fuck's sake.
I'm ready, brother.
When, remember last night when we were in Lowe's, there's some fucking guy who had his concealed carry.
Yeah.
His fucking shirt got tangled up and he had no fucking clue.
Guns out.
None. And his gun was completely exposed and he had no fucking clue because he has no situational awareness about fucking anything. He just thinks he's so badass.
Including himself.
Exactly. Yeah. And his shirt was tangled up and his whole fucking shit was exposed. And it's like, okay.
You never know who you're going to reach out and grab. That's the other thing, right? You never know who you're going to reach out and grab. Here's a perfect example. We're going to be posting up some of these pictures and videos on the Independence Training social media. But here's the example. Carissa Walton, who has been on our show, the mobile health doc, everyone looks at her. She's a doctor. She's going to be teaching our herbal medicine class. She's also a jits champ. She's a hell of a freaking fighter. She's not very tall. She's a pretty stout gal. She's not very tall. People could reach out and grab her thinking, this is going to be you know, an easy – I pity the fool who reaches out and grabs Carissa twice. Out of two possible opportunities, twice, that's two out of two, that Carissa took someone's gun away from them.
And shot them.
And shot them with it. In one case, the weapon disarm was so efficient that even on video I had to go back and watch it to see it. And the shooter did not even realize his gun had been taken until he was getting shot at the base of the spine while she tangled him up. And over the top, shot him in the base of the freaking spine. After having a malfunction and clearing the malfunction, and then while entangled, and then shooting him in the spine. Another time, she got the gun away, dropped a knee on a dude, pinned him to the ground,
and it was
freaking on. Point is, you just don't know who you're going to reach out and grab. And everybody thinks, oh, my opponent's just this stupid, you know, thug or whatever. You don't know whose day you're about to become involved with. Yep. You just don't know their skill sets.
Yep. And that was probably about a month ago now, we had a student email us this amazing article about your opponent and what you should actually think of your opponent about. And it was about someone who's very particular, who is training hard to fight every single day. He doesn't know what the fight's going to be about, but he just knows that he's training to survive just like everybody else. Oh. So it's not like you're going to go up against some fucking drug lord shitbag. You're not going to go up against some druggy shitbag that's looking just to fucking rob you. You could be going up against a guy who is articulate, who knows the laws, who knows how to handle situations, who knows how to manipulate people, who can talk his way out of things. And that's the shitbag that you have to deal with. Like, you don't know who the fuck your opponent is. And I thought it was I still think about the article. I think it's a great article because it makes you realize that who you think you're going up against is probably not who you're going up against. Who you have idolized as a bad guy, like, oh yeah, he's just some drug dealer who's going to rob me for some fucking
some
money.
He's just a stupid crackhead.
I can fucking take him.
Take him.
Until you come up against somebody who's more violent than you are. And then what are you going to do?
I'll speak a lot, too, to like my law enforcement and my military listeners out there. And it's this. I'll say these two things about you don't know who you're going to reach out and grab. First of all, my combat vets. Listen, bros. The kind of combat you probably found yourself in, assuming it was directed specifically at you and you weren't just in the general vicinity, which is how most people experience combat. They're in the general vicinity of violence.
Yeah.
If it was directed specifically at you and it was interpersonal man-to-man combat, which some of you have certainly experienced, think of the context of how you got there, what your job was, how the other person got there, and what their job was, what your mindset was. Were you a high op tempo? I mean, you were throwing on your kit and rolling, you know, a mission every day, a couple missions every day, maybe several missions a day. Would you have a high op tempo? Did you have already kind of a heightened state of awareness? Were you in a good physical fitness? What's changed since then?
Yeah.
What's changed since then? If you're me and you're an old man, a lot has changed since then. A lot.
Family, kids.
Everything. Op-tempo, fucking everything. What you look
resilience,
for.
Resilience, wanting everything. To fight something that's not particularly pertaining to you.
All of it. There's a tempering that happens, I think, too. You know, remember a lot
the
of guys
more
are,
that you get
no
older.
Shit, there I was. And I'm like, yeah, you're 18 to 25.
Hot-headed.
Fast forward 12 or 13 or 15 years. Let me tell you how you'll be tempered. I remember myself 15, 20 years ago. My temperance was very different.
I was quick fused and hot headed. And now I look back and I'm like, oh man, I made some dumb decisions.
And I will always quote my buddy who works for a local agency here as one of their firearms instructors. Or used to actually. He's transitioned out of that now. But for several years he was. And he always used to say the reason that he believes most cops that he has to train with are not dead is because they haven't met someone determined to kill them.
Yeah.
Their level of compliance, tasers, pepper sprays, harsh voices, right, whatever, has been enough. Physical compliance, DT, has been enough to get compliance out of the people that you're trying to subdue. They haven't reached out and grabbed someone yet who's like, I'm going to fucking kill you. And I think that that's a big difference. And when you get into a program like Entangled, like, everyone's trying to kill each other.
Josh says I haven't changed much.
Everyone's trying to kill each other. No one's like, oh, I just want to take your wallet. Like, I want to kill you. At the end of this, in the next 20 to 30 seconds, I'm going to do everything possible to kill you. I think that's a very, very different. Is every engagement you're ever going to be in like that? Of course not. But that's the worst possible scenario. And so what are you going to spend the most time praying for? The best case scenario, which you hope is going to happen, or the worst case scenario, the thing you hope is not going to happen? I'd rather be there.
Yeah.
So just, you know, something to consider there. Other than that, in the news, I don't know. I've been so busy with work, I have no idea what's going on in the news. Wildfires. What else?
I don't know.
Masks and shit. Stupid.
I've been reading a lot of Murder Minute, so.
Yeah, Drew's been on Murder Minute a lot lately. Kind of starting to concern me.
Every day.
A little bit.
Now I just
She's trying to plan the perfect murder.
No, now it's just I hate everyone. I don't want anyone to talk to me.
Everyone's a suspect. Everyone's a suspect.
Oh, my gosh. The things I've been reading on Murder Minute. I'm like, oh.
And if you don't have the app Murder Minute, you should.
Jesus Christ. Fucking download it.
Get
it's free.
Murder Minute. It's a free app. It's tons of fun. You get to read about some of the craziest freaking
and,
violent crimes.
Oh, my gosh.
You get to learn a lot about the criminals.
You get to go in depth. You Very learn in-depth. Their backgrounds. You learn their behaviors. You learn that it's not just middle-aged men. It's white men. Because that's usually the stereotypical, oh, yeah, murderers or, you know, serial killers, they're all white dudes. They're not. A lot of them are fucking women. Mm. Jesus Christ. I don't want another woman to fucking talk to me ever again. Like, I'm just like, bitch, get away from my fucking kid. Don't touch my kid. Jeez, there's, like, some fucked up people out there. So it just makes you think and it makes you on your toes just about, like, anybody. Is fucking capable. I've read stories on there where 12-year-olds are fucking killers.
Oh yeah.
Luring little kids 4 to 6 to 3 away and fucking chopping them up and molesting them.
Yep.
Like how fucking gross is that? So it's like it makes you think like
it makes you realize what other people are capable of and understanding what other people are capable of. I mean, the
and
biggest
you have
mistake,
to understand is you have to get violent enough fast enough to deal with fucking people like that. If you think that you have a gut reaction like this is not a good situation, fucking act on it.
Well, like, I love history. Of course, I love military history, regular history, all of it. And one of the things that always happens in, like, military history is when someone underestimates their opponent.
Oh, my gosh.
It's always fun to watch those battle stories.
Yeah.
Because you can have a wildly underwhelming force go against a wildly overwhelming force, and they will win simply because they were underestimated in what their capacity for violence was. And there's just so many instances of that throughout history of people just underestimating their opponent.
And it makes you not have a weak stomach either. Like you.
That's another thing too. Well, you're ready for it. You're like, oh, I see. I see what people are up to.
Yeah. Like you have to understand that you can have a weak stomach for people. There's people out there. There's, you know, adults that molest 4-year-olds. There's children that molest 5-year-olds. Yeah. It's just.
Oh, yeah.
That's the world we live in. And it's not like it's a new thing. Some of these cases.
That's always been happening.
Some of these cases are from the 1890s all the way to like the 40s to the 20s to the 30s. I mean, it goes all over the place. And it's not just America. It's all over the world where they have all these crazy cases. Like, this is not a new thing. So it's not like crime is up. It's been the same that it's always been, especially when it comes to just fucking people going on these murder sprees. So it really makes you really think about if you have a the biggest thing that I think that I could take away from Murder Minute is if you have a gut feeling, fucking follow that gut feeling. If something feels off,
because it's off.
That's not right.
So Redwire gear moment. John's not here. I'm going to cover that. Is your gear fit for the fight? Gear comes off in fights. It may not come around while you're LARPing about on the range. It may not come off, I mean, while you're LARPing about on the range. It may not come off while you go for a hike or two every now and then. But when you get entangled with someone else, when you're really fighting, if someone's going to flip you to the ground or knock you down, you're getting in a high-speed vehicle accident even, just in any situation where you may not actually be in a physical fight, but just like a physical upheaval of what's going on with you, gear comes off.
Mm-hmm.
We watch all kinds of gear come off on the range. We jokingly call it the tactical yard sale. And that's just when people are maybe running from one position to another, like during a defensive level handgun or carbine class. And we watch magazines and flashlights and tourniquets and all that kind of stuff just freaking come out. And certainly when we start doing more things like field carbine, people are getting into awkward shooting positions and stuff's falling out of their pockets or falling off their guns. Falling out of their packs. Certainly in things like entangled handgun, people start actually getting physically engaged and guns are being yanked out of holsters because there's not retention in the sense that there needs to be a hood and a clip and all that kind of crap, but the holster itself is just not a good retention holster, or the person themselves doesn't know how to retain their gun. I mean, there were three different times this last weekend that the opponent literally pulled a gun out of a holster and tossed it, and the other person used ineffective, you know, retention methods. So, man,
run.
Make sure your gear is fit for the fight.
Run. Run with your gear on because that'll.
Run with it. Roll with it. Fight with it. Train with it.
Or even
get
just
used to it.
Get to the basic, I would say. The most tactical yard sales we see are when people are booking it.
When they're just moving.
When they're running or walking at a faster pace, shit starts fucking flying off. So put your gear on and sprint for, I don't know, 3 to 5 seconds. And see if shit starts flying off. See if everything's tied down correctly. See, you know, do a cartwheel or a handstand or a somersault for all you older people.
Cartwheel. So make sure your gear's fit for the fight. Yeah. Make sure you test it to make sure it stays on your body. Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by redwiregear.com. On to our topic for today, why Tactical Timmy is afraid to shoot in a competition. First of all, let me define the Tactical Timmy. And actually, I found kind of a funny description of it online, so I wanna read that. There's a great fucking photo of it, like a night vision during the daytime. That's always my favorite, day noodles, right? So here's a good description of it from this Pro Gun Millennial blog, which is something I've looked on a couple different things. So who exactly is a Tactical Timmy? He's a gun owner who trains a lot. Whether he's a cop or prior military or not, Timmy's driven by his need to be the best he possibly can be when it comes to all things tactical. Not a need, but a borderline obsession. Timmy's received hundreds of hours of professional instruction. He's attended classes in over a dozen states from just as many instructors and has done so over the course of a decade or so. In addition to the 8 entry-level and mid-level pistol and carbine classes, he's also taken a ton of classes on stuff that doesn't apply to him. He's not an Army sniper, a SWAT cop, or even a reserve officer, but none of that stopped him from taking multiple long-range precision courses, hostage rescue courses, small unit CQB courses, vehicle CQB courses, and multiple active shooter courses. Timmy's guns are all top of the line. His bare minimum cost for an AR is, you know, well over $1,000. Timmy also puts as much money into his optics as he does his guns. Timmy refuses to buy Chinese-made anything. He doesn't care that his rifle will never see the inside of a helicopter. He needs a rifle to survive a fall from one. He also needs $1,500 worth of lights, lasers, and optics to survive that fall as well. Timmy has a full plate carrier setup, and it is an AR-500 plates. His plates are ceramic, multi-curved, swimmer's cuts. Those plates ride in a top-of-the-line plate carrier that costs more than the plates do. His carrier has a line of mag pouches, a radio pouch, an admin mat pouch, a smoke grenade pouch, an IFAC, plus a spare tourniquet on the back. That plate carrier setup is also entirely multi-camera. These days, multicam black. Timmy's not bothered at all by the fact that he lives in a suburb. Nothing local blends with multicam, and that he hasn't found a place to source smoke grenades. He just puts his $170 AR-specific multi-tool in that grenade pouch. The multi-tool is also multicam. He loves his shot timer because it allows him to more fully quantify his capabilities. He also kind of hates using it because there's no timers in real life, bro. I added the bro. The thing that drives Timmy is his obsession to be as highly skilled as possible, even in things that will never apply to him. He buys high-quality gear because it doesn't restrict him. He spends lots of money on formal instruction because it allows him to use the high-quality gear at a higher level. It looks like he's gear-focused, but he's really skill-focused. In this regard, Timmy is remarkably similar to Gamer Gary, though what skills they focus on are slightly different. All right.
Honey, did they just describe you?
They might have. So here's the thing with this whole Tactical Timmy situation, right? And why Tactical Timmy will not shoot comps. So here's kind of my – I found that one amusing earlier, so I looked it up because I was kind of laughing to myself. But here's how I describe Tactical Timmies. Tactical Timmies are the folks who everything's got to be tactical, you know? It used to be multicam, now everyone's in fucking flannels. Now it's like flannels and blue jeans.
With
or
a beard.
Hawaiian shirts.
With a
and
beard.
Blue jeans. And you gotta have a beard.
Or a mustache.
And you gotta get those full sleeve tats. You gotta have some kind of cool mustache, like the sweet stash I'm rocking these days.
Or now the mullet.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mark and Dobson.
Yeah, now it's like, you know, mullets or whatever. It's whatever fad has been preset by like professionals in the industry. It's not. It's by whatever professionals in the industry have started create a fad, then these guys latch on to that shit and they fucking go full bore with it. To me, Tactical Timmies are the guys who, you know, they own all the gear, but they poo-poo good physical fitness.
Yeah.
They can't really perform to a high level. They're not the guys you're ever going to see at a high-level competition that's going to be really demanding of their physical capabilities. Real quick, I gotta answer this question.
I can't.
Hey, Dennis, we can't see that
picture,
buddy.
Yeah, it's not pulling up. It should be a white and red one.
Yeah, we can't
it's
see
like
that.
White and red. I don't have my phone because we're doing
I've
Instagram
got mine. I'll
live.
Tell you. It is literally called
Murder Minute.
It's a white circle with like a clock. Like clock hands, and then it's like a red blood smear, as if the clock hands were smearing blood. But yeah, I can't see the images you're sending us, bud.
Yeah.
But anyways, like to me, that's kind of the Tactical Timmy. They're super into like they're into the best of the best, which is good, right? They have the Ultima, you know, Converse style multicam black shoes, and they've got the best, you know, pants, and they've got the best, you know, shirts and the best flannels, and they have the dual tube night vision, and they've got the best helmet set up, and it's all tricked out with, you know, fucking built in ear pro and lights and lasers and shit, and the fucking, you know, TNVC Mohawk with all the fucking shit on it, and they have all these, you know, attachment points in case their night vision gets knocked off their head while they're in simulated combat on the flat range or whatever, and then they've got chest rigs and multicams and fucking plate carriers and all their shit, and they can carry 18 fucking magazines. And
yes, Dennis, that's it.
And that's like, that's all the stuff.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with owning any of that. So I'm gonna say this. I don't care if you own all that shit. It's your freedom to own it. I own everything I just described.
Yeah. We literally own everything. We just apply it in different applications. I mean, we go on night hikes with our night vision.
That are non-gun related. Just familiarity with the equipment.
We just carry our EDCs and we'll go for a 5-mile hike with them on just to look at the stars.
Well, and over varied terrain. We hike up mountains. We hike down in the valleys. I mean, we hike through canyons.
I think that hiking would mean that.
Not everyone's version of hiking is the same. There's hiking trails that are basically fucking paved pathways. So
we.
Well, and so here's the issue. I never want anyone to think that what I'm saying is like, what I do is better than what you do. It's not. All right? What you do is contextual to you. And that's why what I want to get into here is competition. All right? Why won't the Tactical Timmy shoot competition? Fear.
Yeah. They can't be not number one.
And it's not even just not being number one. They can't get out in front of people and fail. They tend to hang out with themselves. They will shoot comps, but only the comps that are put on by their buddies. Or they will shoot comps, but only with their little buddy groups.
Yeah.
You know? And they'll shoot the comps that are like a quick 2-minute stage, a quick 1-minute stage. They're just like, guess it up and burn it down. And it's just lots and lots of shooting, minimum shot accountability. You know, they want to shoot only that kind of stuff. They don't necessarily want to go out and shoot like a field match.
Yeah.
Or an overland match. Or an adventure match, the kind of thing that's really going to test your overall skills, not just your singular shooting capabilities against these targets,
or but even
an actual skill-based competition. They don't want to do it. And even the majority of those shooters, it's still difficult to get them out to shoot competitions. Some of these tactical timmies do come from they do come from military. They do come from law enforcement. And here's the other thing. So there's one, I think there's the fear of just being involved and failing in front of people.
Yeah.
The second thing that I hear, and this one gets under my skin the most, is from the tactical crowd, right, who are like, competition's just a game. Games get you killed in the streets. Okay. First of all, shut the fuck up. All right? If it's just a game and you're so goddamn good, show up and win. If it's just a game, show up and win. Those guys rarely do well.
Yeah.
They rarely do. I've been shooting for a long time in this style of match from everything from USPSA to IDPA to local, you know, weekly steel matches and paper matches to adventure matches, field matches, all of it, man. Like, all of it. And I'm telling you, I don't see these fuckers out there. I don't see them.
You know
there.
What's good pressure testing is when you're a lady and you go out and shoot Tuesday Night Steel and all eyes are on you.
Every guy wants to help you. Every guy has some advice to offer you.
Yeah, that's always – that's fun because you're like – you look back and you're like, holy fuck, everyone's looking at you.
Well, and you end up that a lot with girls because there's not many of them out there.
Yeah.
And where the weekly matches, there are definitely more, but I mean, shit, like, you know, just doing the team match.
Even when we were doing those weekly matches before COVID happened, I mean, I was like, every time I turned around, some guy had something to say about something that I was doing,
yeah,
or they were all just fucking staring at me, not doing what they were supposed to be doing. And it's, you know, it is what it is. It fucking sucks. Doesn't feel fucking good, and then, you know, it is what it is.
So the majority of the reason that these folks won't go out and do it, I think, is fear. They're scared of not being the best.
Yeah.
Guys, I am a phenomenal fucking shooter. Let me toot my own horn. I'm pretty fucking good. Right?
You are.
I'm pretty fucking good shooter. I have been studying guncraft for literally my entire adult life. Literally my entire adult life.
Yeah.
In one way, shape, or form, I have a gun in my hand, professionally. I've been studying guncraft my whole fucking life, my whole adult life. And even as a kid, right? I was raised by a shooter, raised by a very accomplished hunter. I got into this world very early. I'm telling you, 100% of the time, I am not going to win.
Yeah.
I do well. And sometimes I've won. There's definitely some matches that I just spanked the shit out of everybody, and I will, out of state, up against hundreds of other shooters. I have done the best there is that, that can be possibly done. That has happened. I have absolutely smoked people. I've also come in the top three, top five a lot. It's
top
not
seven.
It's not common these days that I'm at least not in the top 10, unless I'm in something that I'm not as good at, like precision rifle shooting, which I love and I teach. I teach this shit.
Yeah.
I teach other people how to do it. But if I go to a national level match, guys, I'm not going to come in the top 10. All right. I'm happy if I come in the top 20. And depending on the style of match and depending who else is there, like I've been to matches where the top 20 shooters were nationally ranked champions. Like, dude, I'm not busting into the top 20 against the top 20 nationally ranked rifle shooters because the context of what I'm teaching is not how to win solely just how to win a match.
Yeah.
If I take what I teach and I go to apply it to matches, I will do well, and others, our students do as well. We see a lot of our students go out and compete, and they end up doing well, and then they figure out how to tweak what we've taught them to fit more in competition. But guys, I literally teach people how to shoot professionally, and I'm not going to win every match I show up to. I'm not going to fucking do it.
Maybe if you practiced.
Yeah. Maybe I'll actually practice for a competition one day, and then maybe I'll I don't want to give a fuck.
Or you and Josh.
I don't fucking care.
Or you yeah. You and Josh.
Probably. Josh and I can't practice because if Josh and I actually practice together.
You might become somebody.
We just dominate. It's just, yeah, we do really well and we're making fun of each other most of the fucking time. More than one match of Josh and I have been asked, are you guys on the same team? You know, I'll be behind the rifle. Where are those fucking targets at, Josh? Hey, you settle down. You don't fucking tell me to settle down. It's your job to find the goddamn targets. Hey, hush down there. Now I'm not telling you where they are. Meanwhile, we're under the timer, trying to find the fucking targets. All right, I'm sorry, Josh. Tell me where the target is. Okay. People are like, you guys even on the same team? Yeah, we are. Why are we there?
To have fun.
No. I never show up to a competition to have fun.
Okay.
That's never my goal.
Oh.
Fun is a byproduct of what we do.
To talk shit to Josh?
That's a big part of it. No, just, but why am I there?
Talk shit to Josh.
To set a watermark.
Oh.
To see where I'm at. The last team match we just shot a couple weeks ago, Josh and I did pretty well. We did got 7th out of 54 teams. The point spread between first and second were fucking kicked everyone's asses. But third to, like, ninth, the point spread was fucking minimal. 50, 60 points or something. It was not a lot. I mean, it was just – we were all just competing like crazy. It was a very tight competition in that top 10 spaces, which is normally how it goes, right? I go to competitions to win. I go to competitions to win. I go on hunts to kill animals. I show up to a baseball game to beat the other team. I show up to a race. When I race with Drew, I show up to a race to be the best runner there. That's why I'm there. Contextually, am I going to show up to a race and be one of the top shooters? I mean, it's top runners. No, I'm not. Why? Because I'm not at the level of where the top runners are going
to
be.
But they that like doesn't shit themselves as they run.
Yeah, I'm not willing to shit myself when I run. If I got to take a shit, I stop. I shit. There's a J. John or a Bush or something that's got my name on it. Yeah, I'm not shit myself while I run. I'm not that committed. All right. I'm not like I'm going there to win. Because I know I'm not going to win against this level of runner, then I'm going to use that as a way to set a watermark for myself. Am I where I need to be? Just like this match I was kind of starting to talk about, you know, that Josh and I just went to. One stage in particular, I fucked up big time. I really fucked up. And it was just my skills that we were both betting on. It was like, this all hinges on you, Glenn. Like, your skills here that we know you possess and that you have demonstrated under pressure.
I feel like
time
if you were
and
under-
time and time again, you will dominate. Here we go and go. And then I was like, I forgot how to shoot, you know, and it was just like it was a firefight. And it was just it was a goddamn nightmare. Okay. And then my magazine fucking exploded and my pistol. It was a fucking nightmare of a stage. When we were done, we had to carry this big, like, 200-pound dummy everywhere we went. And we ran with it all over the place. And we ran extra because of how fucking terrible I was doing. And we finally get to the end, and Josh is like, you're carrying this shit back by yourself. He was just like, that is the worst performance I think I've ever seen from you. And I was like, I guess we'll die. Like, I don't know. I have no idea what the fuck just happened, man. Like, I just – holy shit. That's a watermark for me. It's been about a year and a half because a lot of personal shit and COVID and everything
else.
Well,
I feel like you're also under a lot of duress that weekend.
I mean, I am under a little bit of duress that weekend specifically, but in general just because of other people's fucking actions. But it's like it's been a year and a half since I really seriously competed. And so that certainly had an effect.
Yeah.
Then there was another element of just – me doing something when I was shooting my carbine at these targets were not that far away. They're 300 yards away, and they were easy fucking targets to hit. And it was just there was an application that I was doing that was stupid, and it was just I made a big mistake because I wasn't paying attention to where the shooting position was. And when I plopped down at the shooting position, there was a giant fucking thing of grass in front of me, and I had to shoot through the grass to hit the target. Thus, I could not see the target. I couldn't fucking see it. And and you only got one shot to make the hit. And so it was like or you had to get up and move again. And it was just a freaking nightmare. And whereas if I would have got on the other side of the shooting position, you can see the targets. It was like really just simple stuff like that that just kind of slipped my mind. I got in my own head a little bit on that one. That's a watermark for me. So now I walk away and I go, here's what I need to work on. Everything else we did in the field stage, there's 21 field stages. There's two total assault stages. The other assault stage, we freaking kicked ass on.
Yeah. You
know, we totally kicked ass on. Now, I don't know what the difference was, but my carbine pistol skills were phenomenal there, back to where they're supposed to be. Our field stages were, you know, we're finding and ranging and engaging targets at a distance under wind and shitty conditions and everything. I was on point, man. I'm fucking offhand shooting targets and canyons and shit at the 170 yards, like just standing offhand, whack, just doing what I'm fucking good at. That stage in particular, there were some elements that were present. I mean, I could identify them. It's not worth it because it's really for me, but there were some elements that were present that I know are present and that I need to utilize now to go train those things. I don't need to train things I'm good at. I need to train things I'm bad at. That's what Tactical Timmy doesn't want.
Yeah.
People literally fucking stayed because Josh and I have a history at these matches of dominating at the assault stages because we're really good with carbine, pistol, and fast action rifle shit. We're just fucking good with it. People stayed to watch us, and they watched me fall apart. I mean, I turned around to several faces that were like, are you okay, man? You know what I mean? Like, did you shit yourself or something? Why is – what happened? And it was like, that's what Tactical Timmy doesn't want. Tactical Timmy doesn't want to get out in front of people and potentially fail. I'm totally okay with it. I have made mistakes. I have inserted magazines in the middle of a stage and had them fall out of my gun. I have tripped and fallen. I have hurt myself. I have done all kinds of things in the middle of stages. I have also done some pretty cool shit that people definitely, you know, associate me with. And that's great. But you have to be willing to accept the failures as well. And that's what Tactical Timmy doesn't want. And Tactical Timmy, look, could be former mill, could be former LE, could be current LE or mill or whatever, could have never served in any kind of uniform capacity. It doesn't matter. They're all the same person, and that person is someone who's scared to do it. Instructors are scared to do it, in my opinion, because and I will say this. A lot of instructors don't do it. Like, I don't shoot as much competition as I would like to because I mostly work on the weekends. I also mostly work during the week. I basically just mostly fucking work. And so the problem is I don't have the time. I don't make the time. I don't set that time aside enough to say I'm not going to work on this night because there's a competition. Or I'm not going to work on this day because there's a competition. It's how I make my living. So if a class becomes available or an opportunity becomes available, I got to jump on it. So I know a lot of instructors who do the same thing, and they may not have the opportunities to shoot as many competitions, though they should definitely be making the time to shoot something. I will also say there's a lot of instructors who won't do it because they're worried that if they fail, and I kind of lump most instructors into kind of the tactical Timmy world, they're afraid that if they fail, it invalidates what they're teaching. That if they show up and they're not the best, people won't want to train with them. I'll tell you guys this. I've picked up more students from competitions than not, even when I don't win. In fact, I would say that when I do win, and I will call a win top three, right, a top three finish, and I've won plenty, right? I've been in the top three. I've been in first place plenty of times. I know what that feels like. Winning or not winning, not even placing in the top 10, which has happened sometimes, doesn't affect people's desire to want to train with me or to want to set up courses with us because they see that we're out there pushing it. They see that we're out there doing new stuff. And maybe we have new equipment that we're testing, or maybe we're out there trying a new concept, or maybe we're just out there doing our best. And man, sometimes everybody knows, anyone who shot competition knows, sometimes you just get your dick kicked. Mm-hmm. And you just don't know why. I mean, I've had stages where at the end I'm like, man, if I had a mulligan, I would use it here because that timer went off and I knew the plan and I executed the plan, but somehow it wasn't my plan. It was someone else's plan because nothing went the way I wanted it to go. I think that's a big part of it. People think they can't contextualize it, right? Like I said earlier, the super tactical crowd is like, it's just a game. Then show up and win.
Yeah.
Remember that the competition is just based on shooting skills. Well, yeah, but competition makes you build bad habits. Then don't fucking do it. Don't do it. If you want to retain your mags instead of dropping them on the ground, then fucking retain them. If you want to shoot a stock bone Glock, bone stock freaking Glock, then do that. You know, if you don't want to use any of the competition style gear, then fucking don't. Don't expect to win. So use that as a thing. I mean, there was a time, you know, when Josh and I were shooting Tuesday Night Steel a lot that, you know, we were going down there with our EDC guns. And one time we even went down there with like our micro pistols. He had like a XDS and I had my shield. And we went down there and shot the whole night. And it was like we were running out of ammo, man. We were carrying, you know, like seven mags on us. And they're only freaking 7-round magazines. You know, so we're just jamming freaking mags and running as hard and fast as we can. And dude, it's a tiny little pistol, man. It's harder to shoot than some, you know, the guy next to you is in your same division. He's got a Glock 34. All right.
With the red dot.
Yeah. Okay. You know, he's probably got a slight advantage over you, but that's okay. We don't expect to place well during those times. That's not what we're there for.
Yeah.
We are there to win. When I step into a competitive field, I don't care if it's a fucking board game. I am here to win, man. That is how I get through life.
Like when you're playing Jaws.
Yeah, I'm here to win. Fuck you, shark. You know, like I'm here to win, but knowing what the context of what I'm doing is, yeah. I go to a rifle match. You know, I go to a PRS or an NRL match, and I look on the roster, and there's these top 10, top 15, top 20. I mean, sometimes you go to these national matches that are big-time qualifiers, and you will have the top 30 positions will be filled with the best shooters maybe in the world, definitely in the country. And you're not going to beat them. They're shooting highly customized guns with custom hand-loaded ammunition. This is what they fucking do. This is what they do. They know how to get the most out of the timer. They know how to get the most out of a stage. They know how to build this position just perfect so they can move from this position to that position. So are they gaming the game? Yes, they are. And will those guys die in a real firefight? They're not fucking training for a real firefight, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, they're precision shooters where they're specifically going to shoot at a target long range. They're not actively thinking that these targets are going to be shooting back at them and or moving.
You want contextual shit? Competition dynamics. I've never done matches with anyone else that are more contextual than competition dynamics. I'll also say Mammoth, Vortex Extreme, the Hornady Precision Hunter match, all those are great. But competition dynamics, they have amazingly contextual matches. Like the Team Steel Safari we just did and have been doing for a while. The team match, the individual Steel Safari, Sniper Adventure Challenge. You think you're a fucking hard ass? Do Sniper Adventure Challenge. 2 years ago when Jay and I did it out of 36 teams, only 11 of us finished.
Remember when I thought you lost?
Yeah, we thought we lost. We thought we didn't do very well. We were the last ones in, and we were like, oh, like, we're so terrible.
It was my fault, because I was like, yeah, everybody else got picked up.
And we're like, why did we do so bad? And then we came in the top five, and we were like, oh, okay.
I apologize. That was my fault.
Wasn't as bad as we thought.
Well, it was like, all I had to do was follow you off of satellite. I didn't fucking know.
Anyways, point is, like, you want to go do hard shit? Fine. You want to go do contextual stuff? Do that. There's no gaming the game in Sniper Adventure Challenge. Yeah. You can fucking hack it, or you will be picked up.
Yeah.
Or you will call in sick. Or you will have to call on the radio and say, I can't do this anymore, come help me. Which most of the time, literally in those adventure challenges, the majority of teams do.
Yeah.
The majority of teams get picked up. Because it's land nav, it's fighting, it's breaking out of restraints, it's swimming in the middle of a fucking cattle pond.
In your undies
in the middle of the freaking freezing ass night and shooting a target off a floating platform. It's filtering your own water. It's figuring out how to eat. It's taking care of your feet. It's taking care of yourself. It's taking care of your mind.
Yeah.
It's showing up at a check-in point and have to play a fucking mind game and do math, do simple math problems really quickly after you haven't slept for 30-something hours.
Yeah.
You know, there's tons of application in matches like that, and those matches exist. So if you want to be a hard ass, go to them. I'm telling you, they're tough. Go to that. There's more things like that. Mammoth is kind of a watered-down Sniper Adventure Challenge, or SAC, as we call it, right? But there's other variations of that. You know, there's some other ones. There's one in Texas that now I can't remember the damn name of it, but you're no lasers allowed. You have to mill all your targets under time, range them, estimate them, and engage them. And you're either really right or really fucking wrong. And you still got to do the shooting part. So not only do you have to mill them and be right about what their distance is, but then you've also got to effectively engage them and do well at the shooting. And then you got to sack up all your shit and move to the next freaking station before the team behind you catches you.
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of opportunities to get out there and use field-based skills and use your physical fitness. You don't want to game. You don't want to go and stand in the box and shoot there. Stand in the box and get you killed, bro. Okay, then show up and win. Show
it's
me
hard.
How fucking good you really are that under yeah. the under time constraints, you can engage this target. Is this how I'm going to do it in a combat situation? No, it's not.
But I also think that even in my perspective of my very short competition shooting, I feel like it's more stressful shooting competition than anything else, because I feel from a woman's perspective, my perspective as a woman, I feel like you have so many people fucking watching and staring. Like, you can feel the laser beams on you and you're like the center of attention. So I feel like it really fucks with your head. Like, you kind of have to figure out how to, like, blockade that so it doesn't – that shouldn't be an issue.
Well, and there's the element, like, pre-planning a stage. Okay, there's some comps that we shoot, like I'll use the competition dynamic stages, for example, that you don't get a pre-plan. You don't know where the targets are.
Yeah.
They go beep with the fucking timer, and then you have to go into the field, find, identify,
which
range, and engage.
That.
All of them. What's
yeah.
that?
Well, I haven't experienced.
Yeah, but I'm
that.
Saying like I mean, that's one element where you're like, oh my God, the timer's clicking and I have to find everything, engage everything. Like, oh my gosh, there's a lot of work to do
yeah.
here. And that's one type of task load. Another type of task load is memorizing the stage when they're like, all right, from position A, engage targets T1, T2, and
yeah.
knock down targets T5 and T6. Okay, now move to position B, but between position A and position B, you need to engage target T5 and T6 with two hits each.
That.
And then you're bouncing around and you're like, how am I supposed to remember all this?
Which
guess what, guys? That's task
fine.
Load.
That's fine for me to do. It's just like everybody watching, all eyes on me. If I look yeah. back on my shoulder and there's like fucking 30 people sitting there watching me, I'm like, well, fuck.
And
fuck
that,
me and my little shield.
But that's where all of the, like, this is all the possible task load,
yeah.
right? And as soon as I'm done with this, I got some questions I want to answer here that guys are asking. But the first thing is, like, there's task load that you get put under.
Yeah.
There's safety to consider.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, I wouldn't move my gun like that in a gunfight. I always keep my muzzle pointed at the shit I want to fucking shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be stupid. unless someone is covering me, which is not likely, unless I'm in a team-based environment where someone is literally laying withering fucking fire in my defense so that I can get up and move my little ass over to another position so that I can then set up a position to support them while they get up and move their little fucking ass to another position, unless that's happening,
yeah,
I keep my muzzle pointed at the bad guy. And in competition, we're like, 180 rule's not real. It is real. It is real because I must keep my muzzle pointed in directions I'm willing to put bullets.
Unless you just want felonies for, like, I don't know, 50.
Yeah, if I run
people.
Around the parking lot with your fucking gun flagging everybody, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Felony,
run around in your felony, cool little felony, low ready, felony, turn felony. Over here and turn over there and flag yourself and flag other people and accidentally turn towards someone like me in the parking lot where I'm like, that guy's pointing a gun at me. Shit, bam. And I can guarantee you it's not going to fucking end well for
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Because if I think my life's in danger, I'm going to war right now.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to ask you any questions. Hey, sir, excuse me. Can you put that weapon down? Ha ha ha. No, if you're pointing a gun at me, I'm going to fucking smoke you. Game over.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have time for that shit. I got kids to take care of. I got Drew to take care of. I got freaking dogs that need bathing. Disgusting fuckers. It's like there's a lot of shit that's going on in a competitive environment that's big time task load. Whether it is find, identify, range, engage all the targets, or whether it's memorize this pre-gamed plan and how best, to me, it's mission planning.
Poor Stoli.
Yeah. For me, it's a big mission planning thing. You know what I mean? Where I'm like, okay, like a mission plan, like an op. Let's treat this like an op. I need to go into this position. I have to neutralize all these targets. I have to go to this position. I have to neutralize all these targets. I have to go to, okay, how does it look on paper? Okay, now look up to the real world. Oh, shit, it looks different. Mm-hmm. They didn't draw it exactly like it looks in the real world. Surprise, welcome to mission ops, right? Or mission planning. That's how it fucking goes, right? Now go to a real op, and it's like, oh, shit, how we drew it in the fucking, you know, in the planning room and how it's actually going down in the field. Oh, shit, not the same. Because, you know, shit changed.
And then you have to improvise.
And then I got
to
go like, oh, shit, okay. This is how that – okay, that's what that target actually looks like. Okay.
Yeah.
He falls down or he doesn't or whatever. You know. I've got to – it's all task load and it's all beneficial to you. If you're there just for the shooting, I'll quote the guys over at the Softway. If all you are is good at shooting, we have no use for you. If all you are is good at shooting, we have no use for you. You don't belong on my team.
Yeah.
Our instructors aren't just good at shooting. They're good at a variety of useful freaking skills, not just shooting. All right, here's some questions. I enjoy what you're saying, but I'm at the range wasting ammo and looking good, but I normally look better in the dark. Yeah, that's some people, I guess. You can. So what you're saying is you enjoy night vision shooting more because no one can see your mistakes. I'm not sure if that's what you're saying or not. But... you're the range wasting ammo looking good. That's so – to that point, I'll say this about the tactical Timmy and why they don't like competition. They don't like round accountability.
No. 90% of people who go to the range do not hold round accountability.
They don't want round accountability. Excuse me. I got COVID.
We already had that in January, honey.
My mask didn't capture anything. So – round accountability is another important element of competition.
Yeah.
It's important because I can sit here and bang away super fast, but if I can't effectively neutralize that target, it doesn't matter. I'm not just shooting at giant steel or giant paper all the time. I got to hit a fucking knockdown plate at 40 yards with my handgun iron sights. Now we'll find out who's a shooter. I got to drop into an improvised field shooting position and knock down that LaRue popper at 400 meters with my red dot. Now we'll find out who's a real shooter.
I just, my own personal preference, I enjoy iron sights more than red dots on handguns. I feel like you're a better shooter if you can perform well with iron sights than you can. I feel like, I don't know.
I think red dots are an advantage when they're an advantage. Like I started using a red dot primarily for competition. Because there was an advantage in certain types of matches I was shooting where we had to shoot at the distance.
But I also like AKs, so.
Yeah, your head's broken anyway, so.
Yeah.
But red dots are advantageous for a number of reasons. Aging eyes are a big deal. Darkness, night vision, improvised positions, moving targets, distance targets.
Yeah.
There's definitely some advantages to them, but.
I just prefer iron sight.
Yeah, it's like anything else. If you're fundamentally good at the concepts of shooting, then using a red dot will make you better. But if you're not good at shooting with the fundamentals, a red dot's not going to – it's not a crutch to lean on.
Yeah.
And a lot of people want it as a crutch to lean on.
Yeah.
You take away their red dot and they're like, I don't know how to fucking shoot irons. Like,
mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. So is Tactical Timmy – here's another question. Is Tactical Timmy way over his or her head and need to be stick – and need to maybe stick with what they're good at, like what skills they're born with? I'm not exactly sure the structure of that question, but I will say yes, most Tactical Timmies need to spend more time focusing, not necessarily on the skills they're born with, because if we did that, we would all suck at this game. We would all suck at shooting. We would all suck at fighting.
I'd be really good at doing laundry.
That's a skill you're born with. Came out of the womb sorting.
And cooking.
Sorting and cooking.
And cleaning.
I will say that there are there's definitely skills that they're ignoring. Tactical Timmies are ignoring certain skill sets that are needed to be a better shooter and more effective.
I think they're too hyper-focused on
speed.
The cool guys.
They're way focused on speed. I mean, I watched some of these new, you know,
Remember that cop when we were doing the advanced handgun?
Yeah, and Flagstaff, yeah.
And he was super Tactical Timmy until you put him in his place, and he was like, opened his eyes, and he was like,
and be careful what you're saying. I put him in his place. I mean, it's not like I fucking reprimanded the dude.
No, that's not what I mean. But what you showed him a different technique because he was so hyper focused on being so quick to the draw.
He's actually slow.
He was actually too slow. And then once you showed him a different type of technique and how to properly assess, all of a sudden he was like, I can be actually much faster.
He was getting rounds off like a second faster. Mm-hmm. And his second and a half draw, and getting rounds off sub-second. He had a second and a half to two-second draw, and he was sub-second still getting round. He was sub-second getting rounds off faster than his second and a half previous draw.
Right.
Based on
and he was one of the top shooters, I would say, that we had in the class.
He was. No, he was a phenomenal shooter.
You just adjusted. And at first, he was very kind of like, oh, I'm set in my ways. I want to just do my own type of thing. Like, I know what I'm doing here. And then you're like, well, let's pressure test it. And then you did that. And then he was like, holy fuck, I was fucking wrong.
Well, I grabbed the timer as a metric of measurement.
Right. Yeah. And so for him, it opened his eyes to the fact that it's not just about being as fast as you fucking possibly can be. It's about everything else.
Well, it's about efficiency.
Right.
And it's about utilizing that skill set in the context, like as a law enforcement officer in that example, utilizing that skill set in the context of where you're going to be. Showing him how to get rounds off from a mid-retention position while moving to full extension.
Versus he was able to
put 3 to 4 rounds effectively in the high center chest in the same time that previously he was only putting one.
Right.
So he tripled or quadrupled his ability to put rounds on target, which in the context of what he's doing, starting from mid-retention to working out to full presentation, is more beneficial to him and really any armed citizen as well.
Yeah.
Than it is jamming your freaking gun out as fast as you can get it.
But
out
there, so. I feel like that really opened his eyes.
It did. But the point of this being, yes, you have to advance your skill sets. I think Tactical Timmies focus too much on speed. Like,
right.
To your point.
Exactly. Absolutely. All they want to do is they want to have that super speed. They want to do the cool guy videos of how.
What looks good for the gram.
But that's the other thing.
Let me run from
though.
Here and shoot this real fast. Run over here and shoot this real fast.
But
whip my hands around in a really fast motion.
But 90% of the time is they're shooting steel so you can hear the steel.
Yeah.
But you're not actually doing that shot accountability. Okay, where are you placing on the steel? Because it'll ring any fucking place you put it.
Yep. At any distance.
At the bottom, at the very top corner, in the shoulder corner. But where are you doing it? Are you doing it high center chest? Are you doing it remotely close to high center chest? Are you doing it somewhere where it's going to count? Or are you going to do it where it's not really making that other person change their awareness and whatever you say it is as, like, is it really changing their I can't think of the fucking word. God damn it.
I don't know.
I don't know.
But it's an accountability
behavior,
issue.
Changing their behavior.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is it going to change their behavior or not? Because if you're sticking the shoulder, the leg, whatever, and they're still coming at you, you know.
Well, and that's where the shot accountability
fast,
comes through.
That's pretty cool. But
anyone who's moving fast, I always I post this on Instagram probably more than anything else I post. Let me see that target.
Right.
Show me that target.
Where's the target?
Show me the fucking target.
You're super fast and we can hear your hits because it's steel, but where is the shot placement?
How far away is it? How big is it? Where'd you hit
it? Is it changing your stagnant target's behavior? Because even though it's a stagnant target, you're trying to implement real world scenarios. Did it change their behavior? No? Okay. So you're super fast, but you shot them in the fucking right shoulder, right off the shoulder. So you nick some skin. Congratulations. You still hear the steel ringing, but
you didn't actually affect his behavior.
Yeah.
So there's two more questions I want to get to because we're almost out of time. And then we'll probably wrap things up after this. And the first one's not a question so much as a statement is, dudes watching dudes is the real match stress. For some people, it is. I think everybody gets stressed about matches differently. For some people, like Drew, someone watching you is very stressful.
I'm very uncomfortable with everybody watching me.
For some people, they call the timer stress. Realize the timer never induces stress.
I could give a fuck about timers.
The timer just keeps track of time, right? That's all it does. So for some people, though, the timer's a stress. For some people, the task load is the stress, whether that's having to find range and engage the targets or whether that is just having to memorize the pattern. Like, for some people, that's the stress. For some people, the weather might be the stress or whatever, right? I think for everybody, there's a different level of stress, but either way, you're inducing a task load, and that's important. Part of what competition makes you do is it in some way, shape, or form induces a task load.
Yeah.
Especially if you're running like a multi-gun. Great. You think pistol's awesome. Run a pistol and a carbine match. Run a three-gun match. Yeah. Everything's fun and games till a fucking shotgun comes out. You know? So it's like task load under pressure, under time, under constraints. That's important.
Yeah.
The last question I really want to talk about, and this is another thing that I think kind of goes back to what I was talking about with the whole tactical Timmy and why people won't do it. Does competition teach bad habits? Yes, it does. It absolutely does. It's why it's important for you to mix up both competition and defensive or offensive level shooting. It's also why it's important for you to realize what you're doing in training and make sure that your training reflects the kind of skills that you want to build. Because I know plenty of competition shooters, right, that are bullet golfers, all right? Bullet golf competition shooters are only going to work on building their competition shooting skills. They're not going to work on building their defensive skills. I know plenty of competition shooters who literally take their guns when they're done with the comp, put them in their quote-unquote golf bag, and then leave. And they don't carry, they don't EDC a gun, they don't really keep one for home or for personal protection, maybe for home defense. But that's it. That's really all that they're doing. So there's plenty of that available out there. Like, there's plenty of those people that are bullet golfers. Yeah. And they're really good. Like, there's some nationally ranked freaking champs that put their guns away, you know, during certain times of the year. They don't shoot during the summer. They don't shoot during the winter. They don't shoot during the rainy season, wherever they are. Or they don't really carry their gun. Or they shoot something entirely different than what they carry. I carry a G43, but I shoot an STI tricked out, red dot equipped, you know, race gun with powder puff loads.
Yeah, are they training the same way?
Probably not. So that's the question. Does it build bad habits? Yes, it does. It does build bad habits. It builds a lot of static bad habits.
And that's why we always say to train how you carry every single day, important it is.
In competition, that may not always be possible.
Well, I mean,
because I can't move and shoot on every target. So how do I then apply those skills? Break it down to what the martial skill is that you're improving.
Yeah.
Am I working on marksmanship here? Am I working on holster presentation? Am I working on movement here? What specific skill am I getting out of this stage? You can always set that up.
Yeah.
You can always make that work. You can always go back and analyze and say, which skill sets am I really freaking building here in this stage? So that you don't build those bad habits. And then when you're training on your own, make sure you're training for the skills that are more contextual to your life. Remember, competition is really just a really good option to basically work on the martial skill of shooting.
Yeah.
Depending on the type of match it is, it may work on other things, right? If it's Sniper Adventure Challenge or Mammoth or Vortex Extreme or one of the team matches or something like that, it might be more. If it's a Hard as Hell or a Desert Brutality or something like that, it might be more. It might be something different. You might have to use other skill sets. You know, I'll be honest with you, in a head-to-head competition with a lot of the people I beat in those types of matches, in a head-to-head shooting competition, if we just head-to-head shoot, they might beat me. You know, part of the reason that I do well in those matches is because I'm good under task load. I'm good at performing those skill sets. I'm good at clearing my mind and focusing on the task at hand. They're not like fucking going up there anyway, so it's not very hard to fucking roll dice and clear that shit out. So it's not really – there's a lot of things that are going on under those situations that not – that the typical gamer, so to speak, isn't good at.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid of competition. If you're not shooting competition,
get
you should
out
be.
And shoot. Yeah.
If you're in the Phoenix area, there's a competition literally every single day of the week.
Literally, I think it has helped me improve my shooting and knowing exactly what I need to work on under pressure and under stress and dealing with people, you know, staring at me and watching me and everything else. Even having you there, you typically necessarily don't engage with me. You kind of just let me do my own thing and then we debrief afterwards. And I think competition shooting, even the very little exposure that I have with it, because as soon as we really got into it and started hitting it hard, COVID happened and everything shut down. We really haven't gone back. But it's been eye-opening to my stance, to a lot of different things. And I think it's really beneficial for people if they're looking for improvement. Competition shooting, even, I mean, we do Tuesday Night Steel is what I was exposed to. And even just doing that little bit of exposure to competition shooting with everybody fucking just staring at you and under pressure and everything else, I think it's really helped me focus on different things that I never really thought was a game changer for me, but ended up actually being it. And I think it will, if you are looking to improve, I think competition is where you're going to do it at.
And really make sure you have someone record you too, especially at these absolutely. Smaller matches or a match where someone can record you. Have someone record you. Don't get in the way of the RO. They fucking hate that shit. When I'm ROing, I hate that shit. Get your fucking camera out of my way. But other than that, don't get in anybody's way.
And I think that's where the beneficial is so video. You can actually physically watch yourself moving, shooting, reloading. One of the things that I know that I have taken away is that I need to reload before I'm actually out. So it's
ammunition management.
Right.
What we teach in defensive shooting.
Yeah.
There's a lot of skills that cross.
Yeah.
All right, guys. You can always bring us out to train with you. If you want us to come out, give you our hard opinions in person and teach you some cool shit, email us info@trainingaz.com. We'll give you all the information about how to host us in your area. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, and Red Wire Gear. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Make sure you check out the other shows on the network. And please make sure you check out the Schoolhouse courses that we've got coming up. A lot of great programs are going to be middle of the week, evening classes, easy to get to, few hours, easy day. Next week, we're going to be talking about the contextual world of EDC or everyday carry and why certain people might want to carry certain things and how that changes based on where we go and where other people go as well. And why we really shouldn't judge people based on what they decide to EDC and but how to be realistic about it as well. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.